Welcome to the Commercial Property Investor Podcast, and I'm your host, Jerry Alexander. This show is all about commercial property investing for the private investor. Whether you're just getting started or scaling up your portfolio, through interviews, tips and lessons learned along the way, we want to give you the inspiration, knowledge and confidence to enjoy this great cash flowing strategy. Hello and welcome back. I want to start with a thank you for a recent review on iTunes. The Artful Lodger, yep, that's their user handle, said two things that I really liked. This relaxed and down-to-earth podcast has already built my confidence and the size of my head. And so far, the great guests have been asked the questions I would want answered if I were interviewing. Oh, shucks. Thanks. I hope the rest of you feel at least vaguely similar to that. These are two of the things I really want to try and do on this podcast. The first thing was eloquently put, I want to try and help build people's confidence about commercial property, trying to demystify it effectively and not being all high and mighty about all the wondrous things that go on in commercial property and making it all vague. I want to try and make it as clear as possible. And then the second part is, yes, interviewing people, I want to have those questions that if I was listening, I would want answered or asked and then answered in the best way possible. So I'm going to try my utmost to keep up with that, and thank you so much for that great review. Now today I want to talk about the Bank of England statement from last week. Some of you who are based overseas may know nothing about it, of course, but as the Bank of England raised interest rates by 0.5% last Thursday, the Governor of the Bank of England also made a statement of where they believe we are and where we're going as a country economically. To me it was a pretty bleak picture, designed to get people to wake up. At least I hope that was the intention. But more about that in a minute. Over the last few weeks, I've been seeking to refinance one of our projects, which is halfway through development, so it's not quite complete, but it's certainly not at the start. We haven't completed it yet, but there have been a few different offers and avenues to look at in terms of finance. So this is kind of, middle of the road. It's partly finance, development finance, and partly paying off private investors. So I'll just give you a few details on it. We're about to settle on one of those offers, and I thought it'd be good to just give you an update of what have we been offered, right? So now every project's different, and of course every finance offer has different nuances. The project for us is currently private financed and our own finance. There's no bank debt in there at all, and that was the intention when we got started. We need to buy it quickly, so it was the quickest way of securing the debt to buy it. But it's time to pay them off and to take some of our director's loan back out as well. So some of the things that are important to us are speed, ideally interest only. Fixed interest would be good, but flexibility to redo sooner rather than later. A good rate, of course. And possibly to add either more debt because the project develops, or as we seek to leverage for another project. So, you know, nothing too much wanted there, right? And in context, as I say, it's halfway through the redevelopment. It's not the end. There's new clients in there and older clients that we inherited when we bought the building, but it's definitely not full. So the offers really have come from Tier 2. That's where Tier 1 might be your high street banks, that sort of thing. Tier 2 might be more of the challenger banks and other ways of raising finance, one of those being peer-to-peer. So we've had a peer-to-peer offer, which seems reasonable. It's interest only for 5 years. It's quicker to do. The LTV is a bit lower, though, than we'd maybe like, and it's based on brick and mortar valuations. So that might mean we don't quite get the amount of money out that we want. Tier 1 lenders are just going to find this difficult right now at this stage, but might be sub 3% for a larger loan value. That's over base. As we get to that later stage in the project. So I've been having those conversations too. And the peer-to-peer and secondary tier lenders are around sort of 6%, really. That's kind of their fees. Plus fees, that's their interest rate. A few do interest only, though, which is a big tick if you're going through that development stage. I appreciate we should all pay off capital at some point, and it does depend on where you are in that cycle. But if you're still developing a property, cash flow is kind of important, isn't it? So interest only is one that we're really keen to get. And of course, some rates are bound to change soon. And after that conversation with the tier one lender today, fixed rates have really moved quite considerably. But I guess that's understandable in the current circumstances. So those are the things we've been offered. We're certainly going to be going for those tier two rather than spending forever trying to go through a tier one, which may or may not come off. It really is something we need for about another 2 years. And as and when we get that placed, I will let you know the outcome. So that really brings us neatly onto the elephant in the room, which is economically, the world is going to end, right? If you're watching the news over the last few days, it's been incessant. And the Bank of England said we're going to be in recession for 15 months. Really? What an announcement to make. Whether that's going to be true or not, personally, I'm not sure how to take that. It was not expected, and to be fair, it's not exactly the best pep talk I've ever heard in the economic dressing room. Basically, the Bank of England statement was that we're now in August 2022. The UK is expected to be in recession before the end of this year and all the way through next year. And, you know, I'm not sure how good that is as a pep talk, as I say, but maybe it's not their position to give us a pep talk. But let's first bear in mind that most central bank predictions are normally incorrect and sometimes wildly incorrect, particularly the further out to the horizon you go. Now, I'm not belittling the position we're in, and many other countries are in and find ourselves in, but we need to get a hold of ourselves. This stuff happens regularly. It comes in different guises, of course. Sometimes there's no money, sometimes there's too much money, sometimes there's too much inflation. For those of you that even been through the last couple of recessions know that there are different trigger points, but ultimately the cycle is the cycle, and this stuff happens. But let's just take a moment to talk about what if. What if it did go on for 15 months? First thing, nobody's going to come and rescue you, right? It's up to you and I to sort out our own micro economies, our own business, our own family situation. And as an aside, I do like this. They always makes me laugh. I catch myself using it sometimes as well. But who are they? They are not going to come and rescue us. Are they a group of people specifically managing you and your life? Or a single group of people organising everything? Apparently, they were all at the Adele concert last night. And anybody's anybody was at the such and such opening party in New York last Friday. No wonder people suffer from FOMO or depression, feeling they aren't good enough to be there with they. When listening to media or TV or social media, it can be really difficult because you just, you know, you're looking at these things going on and all these things that everybody else is doing. But we have to remember, the other 6.999 billion people weren't actually there either. So there isn't really a collective they. They are not going to come to you. Society is complex, as are governments. And as we all know, they are all competing with each other. And just like work or school or the local club you belong to, people are creating little fiefdoms and politics. So the idea that there is a they and they will come and rescue is pretty narrow and 100% likely not to happen. So in reality, there are three things I think we could do. First, which many people do, is cut back. Stop spending. And that's often what, of course, eventually tips us into recession because people like just sit on their hands. Cut back. And that is an option, individually. Not a great one, but that individually, that's an option. Number two, save. Save more money. Save our way out of this. Well, that may work for some, but probably not most. Or the third one, which is generally the one I would suggest, is let's go and earn some more money. And depending on where you are in life, some of those might not be an option. Saving more might not be an option. Cutting back might not be a more option because of family circumstances. Or earning more money might not be an option. Now, I think most of us can. We just have to think a little bit outside the box. But where does this actually sit with commercial property? Commercial can be affected significantly by market sentiment. We've spoken about that before in the podcast. Income and serviceability are really critical in this. So you need to think about that as we're going into potentially choppy waters. How is your serviceability? And think about a single let shop versus a multi-let or multi-use building. Which might fare better in terms of income during a challenging time in the economy? Is one more likely to suffer from boom or bust? Well, you know where I'm going with this. A shop, if your tenant goes bust, or they leave in the middle of the night, you've got a hole there, and you've probably got business rates to cover. If you've got a multi-let property, and one or two customers leave, it's not the end of the world. And that's what I found during the last recession, and during COVID, to be honest. When things came to a standstill, we still lost the same number of clients we normally do during any time, during any kind of normal period. But what we weren't able to do is backfill with new tenants because there weren't any inquiries or people coming out and about. But once we got through COVID, it picked up very quickly. And same during 2009 when we had that recession there. People, for a very short period of time, were sitting on their hands and then they were looking for flexibility. So we fared pretty well during that. But anyway, you just need to think about these things in terms of your own investments. Now, you may have your own opinion about inflation and the effectiveness of interest rate rises to restrict money in the economy, to try and slow things down and therefore reduce inflationary pressures. But my feeling is peeing into a storm is only going to have one result, and it won't be effective at calming the storm, and it probably won't be very hygienic. I may pretend to know something about economics every now and then, but it does seem odd that a 15-month recession, as predicted, won't reduce demand, and therefore inflationary pressure anyway, whether you raise rates or not. And alternatively, if the inflationary pressures are all external, that we can't do anything about, then can we do anything about it anyway? Which one is it? I know it's not as simple as that, but sometimes I think we overcomplicate things to make ourselves feel that a nice and sophisticated, well-thought-out thesis gives us more comfort and belief that we can control what's going on and can speak authoritatively about the cause and effect and how we can fix it. But in reality, this too shall pass.
Let me take a moment to thank Office R&D for supporting the podcast. It's really important to us that we only work with sponsors that we've used ourselves. It's all about being authentic, right? Office R&D is the best flexible workspace platform we've come across, and believe me, we've tried a few systems over the last 20 years. Office R&D helps us manage our invoicing, customer community, reporting, building access, and many more aspects of our day-to-day operations. Why not book yourself a free demo to see how they can help you free up more time to grow your business? Follow the partner link in the show notes.
And we've just got to forge our own little economy where we are. And just in case you haven't twigged, this episode really is me being a bit self-indulgent, a bit therapy for me about some frustrations about what's going on out there and what's been discussed and how I think that affects people's thoughts on how the economy should be and how they should act. And whilst I'm on the topic here, here are some of my other thoughts on those economic uncertainties. And one thing that you can hang your hat on is that the certain thing is about uncertainty is that it certainly brings the best time for opportunity. There is more opportunity when there's chaos, right? When everything is calm and plateau or going up in a straight curve, there's less chance for opportunity. And during the last recession, and I guess during COVID for some, there were opportunities coming out. Not so much during COVID because there were all those blankets out there and safety nets. But during the last recession proper, there were opportunities and they came for an extended period of time. They weren't just over within a few weeks. So it's something to think about. That's the silver lining, really. And TV will absolutely get more viewers if it's all doom and gloom. And we're going to hell in a basket. So there's no point talking about how high employment is, right? It's really high. Or how low interest rates are compared to pretty much any time in history. It's much better to chat about doom. So maybe we just need to cut down our consumption or at least put on some big filter glasses when we're watching the media and we're watching TV. Because it just frustrates me how much we talk ourselves in and out of these things. But if you're not paying any attention to it, maybe you can carry on in your own thorough. So the Bank of England should, I think, be a little bit more responsible and maybe a bit more transparent. So why do nothing for months? Okay, the odd small incremental increase. And now do a double lift and say we're all doomed until 2024. Where did that come from? We weren't talking about that last time or the time before. And when we had, I mean, we have been steadily having increases. And I know in different countries there's been different rates of increase. But it just seems a bit odd how that came out and kind of slapped us in the faces like a wet fish. Meanwhile, as I say, it's a cycle. and cycles are guaranteed. And the cause is always something different each time. And I personally won't be practicing paying down debt. Perhaps I might be trying to create some spare capacity or a little bit of ammunition stockpiling. That might be good for any opportunities that are coming up. But I won't be trying to pay down debt. Now, maybe for you in a different set of circumstances, actually that's really important. So don't take that as the same for everybody. I'm just talking about my own situation. And commercial property values definitely do fluctuate with sentiment more than residential does. That's my feeling. Because a huge proportion of the price is based on the market sentiment about yields or multiples or cap rates or whatever technical phrase we're going to use right now. I mean, it all amounts to the same thing, right? They're all the same. They're all from the same bleeding coin. But whatever way you're measuring, ROI, yield, multiple, cap rate, they are affected quite dramatically by market sentiment because the value is so much based around what the market thinks it wants to buy that income for, effectively. Whereas in residential, there's the underlying bricks and mortar just doesn't quite move as much, I don't think. And think about this, a building could keep the same tenant for 25 years, let out on a full repairing insurance lease for 25 years, but in that time, the price can fluctuate quite largely during different parts of the cycle, which is totally down to sentiment. The actual income is the same and consistent, but the economic weather outside could be sunny or cold. The income continues, but what the market is willing to buy that income for affects the price. So the price can go up and down, the tenant's the same, the building's the same, the income's the same, the sentiment changes. So market sentiment will affect commercial property values. So you just have to think about serviceability and income, especially when you're taking on new loans. Just have a look and make sure that the covenants the bank have in there, they will more than likely have something about loan to value. But the serviceability is important as well as the income. So these things will stand you in better stead if you've got those under control. So hold your head. We've been here many times before, and before long we'll be there again. Those of you who have not been through this before, this kind of choppy weather may find it difficult to lift an eye to look further ahead, maybe just getting your head down and keeping on, but just take some time to think about how you can work your family and business through the pressures and build a plan with some actual actionable steps. Perhaps you can do all three things we spoke about. Perhaps you could spend less, although difficult with inflation, right? You might be able to save more, and you might be able to earn more as well. But keep eyes on the big prize. Where are you trying to get to? And are you ready to ride the cycle or watch it from the front of a roller coaster put on by the TV pundits? It's that flipping mindset thing again, isn't it? Right, thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me an ear. I feel better for that already. Maybe you do too. Or you might just be glad it's all over. If you're really enjoying listening to the podcast, please leave a positive review on iTunes or elsewhere if you listen to it on a different platform. And it goes without saying, if you don't, then please don't. All joking aside, if you have any suggestions or improvements or topics or guests you would like on future episodes, then just drop me a line. Details, as always, are in the show notes. Thank you for choosing to listen to the Commercial Property Investor podcast. I appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to learn more about how we can help you implement some of the strategies we talk about on the show, then jump onto the website to do some more exploring. Website is commercialpropertyinvestor.co.uk. Right, awesome. Have a great week, everyone. Remember, nothing happens unless you're out there in the swim. Hi there, I hope you're enjoying the content delivered on the CPI podcast. Even though it's free to listen to, it actually takes quite a bit of time and financial commitment to deliver each and every episode. Did you know that by leaving a positive written review, you, yes, you, will have a direct impact on the visibility of the podcast? And that's really important, because by reaching a wider audience, it helps our team to continually improve the overall content that we deliver to you week after week. For some of you, leaving a review will be second nature, but for others, it might be a first one.
Open your podcast app, pick the CPI podcast and search for previous reviews. And on iTunes in particular, click to look at all of the reviews and then you'll see an option to leave a written review. Go on, it'll only take 2 minutes and it'll really make our day. And we genuinely read every single one of them.